Let's turn together to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I want to start there, if I may, this evening in my series that I started last week on getting the most of our study of the Word of God. If you look at the verse that's up there on the screen, this was during the temptation of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4 records the answer that the Lord Jesus gave to Satan in his treacherous temptation, mocking Jesus, who now is confined to a human body, and basically telling him, you know, you have the power, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. You haven't eaten like you should over 40 days. So just turn these stones, in other words, pushing him to do something in the power of the Spirit, because remember, Jesus Christ had set aside the prerogatives of His deity and was completely submitted to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was given to Him without measure, we are told. The Spirit of God was involved in His resurrection. That's an important thing to remember. The Bible makes it very clear. Man shall not live by what alone?
Bread alone.
We can understand that. But the answer, well, then what is he supposed to live by then? If we're not to live by bread alone, then what are we supposed to live by? By every word that proceedeth from whom? The mouth of God. My question then, how, if God's word is that important, whereby Jesus used the word, which was He wrote it, all right? He was the Word. He used the Word to confront Satan. How can I get the most out of my own personal study of the Word of God? That's a question that you need to ask yourself often. Because what happens is this. We slip into this intellectual-only version of our study of the Word of God. That's a problem. What do you mean, Pastor Todd? That's a problem. We have to use our mind. Yes, we do. But we are to engage on another level. Do I hear an amen? What is that level? Spiritual understanding. Not just intellectually memorizing the Scripture. I've always had a little bit of an issue, and I've been a quiz team competitions and so forth, where these kids memorize entire Bibles of the Scripture. They have to be able to quote it whenever they'll say, you know, Acts 12 and verse 5, and they have to be able to quote it within so much seconds. And what I found out was stunning to me of the number of Bible quizzers that were involved in wrongdoing. They had to completely, in North Carolina, all right, they had to remove a quiz team for immorality. They wouldn't let them compete because word got out about this network of immorality that they were involved with, and they used the quiz team as their cover. Now, that's sad. Here they were memorizing these expansive sections of the Bible, but there was no benefit. It was all intellectual in the mind. Thy word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against God. Not in my head. And if your Bible study is just relegated to the intellectual, you're no different than a Jordan Peterson. Dr. Jordan Peterson, who was fired from McGill University up in Toronto because he took a conservative stance. But he's not a Christian. He's someone that likes Christianity. He likes the Bible. As a matter of fact, he wrote a book recently on his view of the Bible, and it's all on an intellectual level. He argues, he said, I'm not going to argue from the spiritual. I don't agree with that. I'm going to argue from the intellectual. Well, that, as I read that book, and it's very lengthy, 600 and something pages, I didn't get all the way through it. But he makes all these intellectual arguments of why we should accept, you know, what the Bible says about this. He struggles with creation. He says, I can't intellectually wrap my head around that. Well, you can't. He's right. None of us can. We accept it by faith, which puts us in a different realm, correct? We're in a different realm when we're talking about faith. We're in the spiritual realm. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Well, that puts it in a different thing. It's not an intellectual thing. A person can get a degree in Hebrew, can get a degree in Greek, and be able to translate the Bible and still get zero benefit from it. You say, how is that possible? Because it's only on an intellectual level. All right? What I described to you with a degree in Hebrew and that are divinity students at Harvard right now and Yale who don't believe in the creation. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They just know the languages very well. And they're in the school. By the way, I think it's still true, but the leader of the Yale Divinity School is not a woman. And she has a doctorate in something like that, and she is the leader. And she rejects large portions of the Bible. But she can translate it from the original languages. All right? But she then puts her spin on it. Right? We really can't accept. We have to allegorize large portions of the Bible. It's all what? Intellectual. Intellectual. That's a mistake. Jesus did not get into an intellectual argument with Satan. All right? It wasn't two, you know, the force of good and the force of evil battling out in wits who's going to come out on top. That wasn't it at all. All Jesus did was quote the scripture, man shall not live. You want me to turn these stones into bread? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Now, what was Satan's problem? He hated God. He hated Jesus. He hated the revelation of God, despises it, attacks it. Remember the parable of the four types of soil? Who comes along and snatches the word up off of the hard ground? What is pictured in that parable? The birds of the air, the fowls of the air come along and they scoop up the word and take it away. So it has no opportunity to get rooted. And then you have two other types of ground that are problematic. You have the stony ground where the seed goes down just a little way and it sprouts up, and then the roots go and they hit the hot rock that's just underneath there, and it just roasts the roots and it dies. Then you have the thorn infested soil that chokes out the moisture and the seed cannot grow. There's only one good ground. That's pictured there. Satanic activity is seen in the other three. This is important to know. The devil hates the Word of God. And so Jesus forever showed us that our job in the study of the Word of God, when Satan comes to plant doubts and to attack the Word of God. And by the way, what's the sword that the Christian is supposed to use as they do battle against spiritual wickedness in high places? It's the Word of God. So that's where Satan's going to have his attack. I can't win an intellectual argument with Satan. There are people that think they can. That they can somehow outwit Satan. After all, he's a defeated creature. Yeah, but we're in the flesh. And we're cursed by sin. Don't think you can do something that Jesus did not even try to do. He just quoted the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Satan, you have rejected every word. I'm not going to do your bidding. I'm not going to put on a show for you. You need to listen to God's word. You need to hear God's word. Now that is important. And you know, those words that came from Jesus Christ were empowered by whom? The Holy Spirit. This is forgotten in so many people's minds and thoughts when it comes to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was given to allow us to be able to illuminate, to be able to see and understand. How many of you turn on a light when you go in the room so you can see what you're looking for? All right? I've got this right here. I use my little light on my cell phone all the time so I can see where I'm going. Oh, I'm looking in a drawer in the shed. I pull out that. I'm looking down in there to see what it is. You and I need light. I can't just walk up to the Bible.
Yeah, I can understand the Bible. I can intellectually take that on.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Because it's spiritually discerned. You need light. And who brings light? The Holy Spirit of God. So, I want us to think for just a moment here, because we're almost done. I came across two verses of Scripture that I felt would be helpful in this regard as we lay the groundwork for where we're going with this study. Because I want us to learn together the importance of depending upon the Holy Spirit of God when we study our Bibles, whether it's at church, whether it's at home. The Holy Spirit of God is the integral figure of the Trinity that helps us to understand. I think every one of us has asked ourselves, the question is, how do I understand the Bible? Or you may even ask this question, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our midst today. You've heard that before, right? I've even said that. What in the world does that mean? Move in our midst. First of all, it's King James language, right? Nobody talks like that anymore, all right? I'm going to come and I'm going to move in your midst at your house. And you say you do, and you're going to get some buckshot. You're not going to be moving in the midst of nothing around our house, especially with you talking like that. What does that mean? This Holy Spirit of God move in our midst. Well, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of show that we can orchestrate. Do you realize that a lot of churchianity today is trying to put on this big show and call it the Spirit of God? And that's not what it is at all. You don't put on a show. The Holy Spirit is not an atmosphere that humans can create. But rather this, and this comes from Pastor Jeff Keaton. I wrote this down at a conference that he spoke at, and he spoke at the AACS and said the same thing. The Holy Spirit is not an atmosphere humans can create, but rather a living being who longs to fill us with Himself in order to honor Christ. That's what Jesus said. When the Comforter has come, He's going to speak of me. That's what He desires to do. I can't create the atmosphere. That's not my job. My job is to exalt, through the power of the Spirit, this book right here, the Word of God. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 59, and we'll close. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Have you ever imagined that? Does God have a body? No. So what does that mean? You know, we've joked around a little bit about some people I've met that had little T-Rex arms. All right, anybody know what a T-Rex arm or alligator arms? You know, they seem like that when they talk, they do this. They got their elbows glued to their sides and they talk like this. And you say, well, there's T-Rex. You know, I won't say anything more. But you know what I'm talking about, all right? Little T-Rex arms. Their elbows are glued to the side and this is how they talk. All right? A master of that was Jonathan Winters, the comedian. He had a skit that he did where he did that, and Tim Conway did too, had the little T-Rex arms, and he would do like that, you know, and he little short arms, all right? Now, what does that have to do? The Lord's hand is not shortened. I can't reach it, all right? Can't reach it because my hand, no, not the Lord. His arm is not shortened. That He cannot what? Save. That it, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. That idea of heavy is somehow The internal bones of the ear don't function properly. They're heavy. Back in the old days, I'm so thankful for hearing aids, by the way. It's transformed my life after struggling for years trying to hear people talk and whatever. I still have a little bit of issues with it, but for the most part, I can hear. You know what they used back in the early 1900s? How many of you have seen those big old horns that they carried around with them? They had a chain around their neck and they carried it around. How would you like to go to church like that? Walk in, this big old horn like this. Everybody's trying to look around it and see the preacher. That was the only way you could hear. Gather the sound and bring it in. God is not like us. That's the point. God can supply everything we need. He can supply the understanding. He can supply the gift of illumination whereby I can see it. Wow! Wow! God did that. Don't you want that in your Bible study? Where the Lord just reaches from the pages and shares with you the glorious truth. His arms are not shortened where they cannot help. Oh, His arms are at full length. And He can grasp the truth for you and help you to understand. I want to encourage you in this regard. There's a dependence that you and I have to have in order to understand this book. It's not an intellectual exercise alone. Everybody following me here? Yes, the intellect is involved, but it's not just an intellectual exercise. There are thousands of doctors of divinity that are very intellectual, but they're preaching error from the pulpits of America because they've only approached this intellectually and they don't have the divine inspiration and understanding that you are promised and I are promised from the Spirit of God. We don't have a need where someone has to necessarily teach us. We've got the Spirit of God. There are a lot of people that say that I just can't understand the Bible. Well, you're going about it all wrong. You're right. You can't understand. I can't understand. How do we understand? God's people? The Holy Spirit teaches and instructs us in His Word. We have things that we use, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, all kinds of lexicons that help us to understand words and things of that nature. But if it's just like another academic subject, we miss the glories of the truth that He wants us to understand and to know. And we're not fed. We're not fed. People that say, well, I'm not being fed. I'm not being fed. Well, where are you at? Do you not have responsibility before God? Do we not have responsibility before God to get into the book and to grow? Well, I only get fed at church. Sad, spiritual, anemic. Just skin and bones walking into church to get their food for the week. That's sad. No. God wants us to study to show ourselves to be approved unto God. Right? That means individually, with the Lord, every day. The Holy Spirit of God teaching us so we can understand what He wants to communicate to us. That's your privilege, Christian. That's your joy. Possessing the Holy Spirit of God to help you understand. It is important to learn how to read. Right? You got to know how to read in order to be able to see the words and to be able to grasp them. I'll never forget, I was at a draft almost 35 years ago. I was with Dr. Hobbs. And we gave some papers to a coach. Said, we need you to read this material here. We're getting ready for the T-Ball World Series. I need you to go through this and sign it and so forth like that. And he handed it to his wife. And he didn't do anything with it. And she was over there filling it all out and whatever. Afterwards, I went up to her and I said, is this individual, does he know how to read? And she said, no. No, he's never learned how to read. I do everything for our family. And what was interesting is he had no interest in learning how to read. His wife had become his reader. And he had no interest in learning on his own. And so he depended totally on her for everything. Christian, you don't have to do that. You can learn how to read. And you can learn how to read God's Word with a tutor. You know who the tutor is? The Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? We have our own private tutor. But you got to call upon him. You got to talk to him. You got to say, Lord, when you open this Bible in the morning or at evening, whenever you do your Bible, say, Lord, I want to understand. I want to understand this. Father, would your Holy Spirit teach me? And we're going to get into this preparing the heart to receive it. If you got distractions all around you, sitting up there and turning out, somebody was calling me right during the service, and it's another pastor. I don't know what he's doing tonight, but it's another pastor calling me. Distractions. Okay? Distractions. Minimize them so the Spirit of God can teach us the glorious Word. Father in heaven, I thank you so much. Sometimes we're shallow in our Bible study because we don't take the time to go before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. We just do a little intellectual exercise and we say, well, that's good enough, but it's not. It's insufficient. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would create within us a love for your Word, a type of love that we just cannot do without the Word. There's nothing to substitute for it. It's God's Word. If it was so important for Jesus to know the Word to counter the attacks of Satan at the temptation, it's certainly important for us. Father, would you work in our hearts and stir us up for your glory? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.